IMRO's 2023 Best Local or Regional News Programme, The Voice of the Northwest, The 9 Till Noon Show with Greg Hughes.
Good morning to you. Thank you very much for joining us on the programme. A very welcome back if you were with us for the first hour of the show. Let's have a look at some of your comments coming in so far this morning. A caller says, why should taxpayers have to donate money to business? If a business cannot afford to pay their own bills, then let them go out of business. No one is giving 5,000 euro to the rest of us, the government, for the rich only. Well, I mean, these are small businesses, and I suppose maybe it's an acceptance that there are external factors beyond the business's control, such as, you know, wage increases, holiday increases that were brought in by government, electricity price increases, which are not their fault either. So a lot of the issues facing many businesses are not of their own doing. Ask him how many companies don't have all the rates paid. Do we get it? I did ask that. He says it's down to each individual council, so contact Donegal County Council. Hi, after the Omagh bombing, a memorial garden was built, but not on the bomb site. The bomb site was all rebuilt as a shopping area as it had been before the bombing. Another caller says the wider Chrysler community are devastated, but is this the way forward? The corner of the garden was used as a memorial for the candles and prayers. Why is this not sufficient? As a Chrysler resident, we need the shop, the heart of our community. We don't visit the area, as the Harpers have stated. This is our home community and area. And therein lies the difficulty in people's feelings and emotions, but also actually in discussing this public, because I do understand that there are quite a number of people with that view out there, and we appreciate you sharing that with us. A caller says there should be no building on the Chrysler disaster site. It's ridiculous that the owners are proposing to build on the same site. Why is Greg entertaining the idea? Because we are simply giving everyone a point of view on this, and I'm not coming at it from one angle or another. A graveyard should be retained as a sedentary area, a memorial garden with a lawn and flower benches for people to sit and reflect, with a fountain in the middle symbolising peace and hope, says another caller. I agree that site should not be built on, but the man that owns the site needs compensating for it, so whatever funds are left should be used to pay for it. Donahue and Anne-Marie are brave, strong people. It takes guts to speak out when you've lost a loved one. I hope that you can find the strength to carry on for your loved ones. Another caller says, I don't think there should be a business rebuilt there. 9/11 built a memorial. The business will get their insurance back again in years to come. They should wait it out for another site. The families, their families and extended families will live with this for the rest of their lives. Now, also, what we don't know is the views of all of the bereaved, all of those that lost loved ones as well. We heard from Donna and Hugh and Anne-Marie, but that's, I don't know the feelings of all of those affected by this. Let me see. I'll come back to these other ones. The Red Cross Fund money left has been left in a trust, I'm told, and they are consulting with the communities and families as to what to do with it. Families and communities have been invited to public meetings on this, and it's a matter of public record, says a listener there. The community is divided on the rebuilding. There are many issues. They've tried to get another site, but it's not possible. The community does need these facilities. We can't turn every site into memorial. Where would it end? The lack of support for the petition, says the community disagrees. So what? I think they've 700 or 800 signatures. I believe that the site in Chrysler should be made into a park with benches and flowers. You can't rebuild on a site where people died. Another, my daughter is the same age as Leona was. I cannot imagine someone rebuilding where my daughter lost her life. I completely understand where she's coming from. It should not be rebuilt there. Good morning, Greg. Regarding the Chrysler site of the explosion, the community should get together and buy the site from the owners and make the site into a memorial garden for all those who lost their lives. But we also have to accept that, and again, I'm conscious that I'm from outside the area, we also have to accept that for some people, they would see that it's important that that what was seen as the heart of the town is restored to it for Chrysler to move forward. There's a lovely wee memorial with a plaque and photos of the beautiful people who lost their lives in the chapel, and I know they will always be remembered. But unless you've walked in my shoes, it's a difficult call for people not involved to have an opinion on. If there's a will, surely a way forward can be found. Hi, Greg. We need our petrol station and shop with deli and butchers back. It's nice all the way it is. We have a shop, but not the same. Nobody will ever forget what happened in Chrysler that day, and victims will always be remembered. Well done, Greg. You were very good and sensitive during the interview with Donna, Hugh and Anne-Marie. It is very insensitive to land at someone's door after a tragedy like that. I really feel for the families, and the site should not be rebuilt on. And hi, why is Greg obsessed with transgenderism? Men can never be women, no matter what they wear or do to their bodies. They are men. Stop calling them women. It's an insult to women. Never did. And I'm not going to be harangued into not discussing things because, and then to be accused of being obsessed with transgenderism. The hate speech laws came into effect in Scotland on April 1st. Every single newspaper is discussing J.K. Rowling's comments in advance of those hate laws coming in, and also post them coming in. There's talk of hate speech laws coming into effect in Ireland. There's also an ongoing conversation about transgenderism and in sport and in women's spaces. I'm not upset simply by talking about something which is covered extensively in the newspapers. I am certainly not obsessed with it. But why would I not talk about it? And what the hell's it got to do with saying that I'm obsessed with it and then talking about your opinion on it? That's fine. You believe that men can never be women. That's up to you. Stop calling them women. It's an insult to women, says another listener. Telling the truth hurts at times. A man cannot become a biological woman or vice versa, says the listener. They can pretend to be one, but in reality, they are not one. Well done to J.K. Rowling, seeking the truth and justice. Trans activists are abusing anyone who says the truth. Look at one person in sports. If this continues, women's sport will all have former males winning everything. Look what they've done to Grayne Lynham. Ordinary men and women must no longer remain quiet. Grayne Lynham, not a name I'm familiar with. But listen, thank you very much for that. Right, okay. Morning, Greg. The reason the TDs are stepping down is they now realise the damage they've done to the country and have failed the people and are no longer wanted, knowing they will get a real kick up the backside come election time. And lastly, and completely on a different note, a wee request. Please play a request for a very special dad and granddad. His name is Desi Harkin. He's from Dromini in Letterkenny and is celebrating his birthday today. Have a wonderful day, Desi. Love from your daughter, Tina, and granddad, children, your grandchildren, Zara, Sky, Jed and Lily. Lovely name, Zara, Sky, Jed and Lily. What's Jed short for? Now, in the first hour, we had what is, I think, by all accounts, a difficult conversation about the future of the site of the Creasle explosion. There are at least two families who are opposed to any plans, and I understand plans are to be lodged to rebuild on that site, but also understanding that there are differences of opinions within the community. But also very conscious, too, that having these types of conversations can trigger emotions in other people's lives as well who've suffered great loss. Bernie joins me on the programme now. Bernie, thanks for your time today. I really appreciate you speaking to me. How are you keeping, Bernie?
Hello, Greg. Yes, I'm keeping good. Yes, not too bad.
Okay.
Enjoying the Easter holidays.
That's good. And you have to, don't you? Lost your husband, Manus. I don't think you mind me mentioning his name, Bernie.
Not at all.
In tragic circumstances, and I mean, obviously, you felt it on a personal level, but it was a loss that was felt so deep in the business community, in the rallying community, just an awful tragedy. But just sort of following on from that conversation, and if it's intertwined, let us know, Bernie. But what did you do at the site of where Manus lost his life?
Yes. The day that happened was the 23rd of June 2019, and it was the Donegal Rally, and he passed away tragically as well. And it affected so many people. It affected families, the wider circle. Donegal, a lot of people say to me that there was a dark shadow came over Donegal that day and affected politics, because he was a member of Fianna Fáil. He had a business, and he was in the business and rallying community. But since that, we have made a garden, a memorial garden down in where he passed away, and it brings so much solace for all of us, his family, myself, my children, and a lot of in the wider circle. A lot of people visit there. It's become a memorial garden, I have to be thankful for the man down there, John McConaughey, if I don't mind saying his name, who was able to give me that area, a small wee area, and I met a beautiful friends of mine, went together, and they made a lovely wee garden where we set flowers, we set a tree, and my brother made a bench, and it's overlooking Shanna Lake, and it's just so peaceful down there. It's just beautiful, and sometimes people leave wee monies, and I would put it into different charities that Manus loved. You know, people just leave wee coins, things like that, and you know, it's lovely. My children love it, and we love it, and I bring down a cup of tea, and it's really nice, beautiful in the summertime.
Yeah, it is. Been there a few times myself, Bernie. It is a beautiful, tranquil spot. How important is it for you and the wider family, I suppose, to be able to sort of sit there and reflect and chat and laugh, I'm sure, as well, Bernie, at the site of where Manus lost his life? Because obviously also to where he's buried is a second place that you might visit. But that's more familiar to us as the wider population, if you know what I mean. So how important is it sort of to have this space where Manus passed to be able to go and reflect or do whatever you want to do as a family?
Well, it's the last place where he had his last breath, and it was the last place I seen him. It was the last place that I was with him holding his hand, and, you know, I wasn't ready to let go. Mm. I wasn't ready, you know, to let it slip away, or there was something so peaceful about that area. There's something, you know, some people, you know, you sometimes say, go and give me a sign or tell me something. And an odd time you do, you don't always. You just, there does be small wee signs that you feel, and maybe it helps you along that journey and path and grief. Mm-hmm. For Manus' parents, they visit there every Sunday, mm-hmm. every Sunday without fail since his passing. It brings you, you know, my daughter was down not that long ago, and she was saying she just felt some kind of peace sitting there on her own, just in silence.
Yeah. Which as a mum, that must be very nice to hear, because you obviously, mm-hmm. you deal with your own loss, don't you? But you're also very concerned as to how it affects particularly younger people, you know, so to hear from her that she feels connected to her dad there and gets some peace or solace from it, that's a comfort to you as well, mm-hmm. in a way, isn't it, Bernie?
It is, yes, of course. Every one of them has had, you know, my son, when he bought his first car, the first thing he wanted to do was go down to visit that area, mm-hmm. and show, like, give him and say, look, Dad, I bought a new car.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's very important for all of us. At some stage in life, you know, well, everyone just needs some sort of comforting. Mm-hmm. And that seems to be more of the place to go than where he's actually buried.
Yeah, so the connection to Manus's memory and him as the person you remember, the connection feels stronger at that memorial site.
Mm-hmm. It does, yeah.
I can understand that. I think I can. With that in mind, Bernie, I mean, are you just really on to talk about the importance of having this for you and for the family, or are you also sort of suggesting that it might be really important to those that lost ones, that lost family members in Chrysler?
Well, the day that I heard about Chrysler, like that black shadow came around Donegal, I felt it. I felt for, there was 10 members of people in that area that was going to go through the same journey as we went through. And, you know, for me, you just break your heart for every member of that family, and they're, you just think, my God, what, you know, what's going to happen now? And, you know, they have, you know, they were all there waiting on their loved ones from that explosion, mm-hmm. and didn't know what was going to come. We were in the same, different, but it was the same feeling, you know, you're just walking around that area and you're just hoping, no, please let it be no. And it's unfortunately not that way, but for the Quayslip community, and it's going to be a place that every time you walk past or drive past that area, you seem to bless yourself and you say a wee prayer for every one of those families and the deceased. So that can't be taken away.
And I think too, in your situation, and everybody's different, but there's a passage of time, you know, and time does help. It doesn't fix, but it helps. The thing here is that we're talking about the future of this site whilst an active investigation is ongoing, and we're still short of the 2-year anniversary. So obviously things are even extra raw. Okay, listen, Bernie, as I say, anyone, it is actually for anyone who wants to pay respect to Manus, but also just to maybe reflect themselves. It is a beautiful, remembrance space. For everyone, as you say, it's lovely that people leave a few euro and you're able to donate that to charities close to Manus. It keeps it sort of keeps things going, doesn't it? Thanks so much for speaking to me, Bernie, and I'm glad to hear things are okay, and enjoy the rest of your Easter.
Thank you, Greg.
Bye-bye, take care.
Bye-bye.
Okay, bye-bye. We've had contact from a third family bereaved. Obviously, Martina Martin, passed away. She was working at the time of the explosion, and her family have been in contact to say our family member, Martina, was the only person killed in the explosion who was a worker. Coming from that perspective, we're totally against a shop being rebuilt there. So we've heard from three of the 10 families who've lost loved ones. There are different views, though, when we're I'm not looking to in any way cause division or to stir or anything like that. And I hope everyone knows my intentions are pure. And it's really just to give people a platform if they wish to speak. That's what we're doing here. Another person's view is, with all due respect to the 10 families who lost a loved one and those injured, I very much sympathise, however, as a family from Creasla. I can say we need a shop and petrol station. There are no sites more suitable than the original site. I'm sure a memorial garden will be included in the new plans, where we can all pause and pay our respects. The whole of Creasla sympathises with the families, but I'd say a lot of Creasla would love to see a new shop progressing. As an individual who passes the site daily, it does darken your spirit, and I think a new shop and nice memorial garden will brighten the town and lift the spirits of us who have to live here, which is a view I fully and absolutely respect and give the platform to there. Passing it at the moment, and I do pass it, I choose sometimes to go that direction just to for my own personal reasons, and just the boarding is incredibly high and it's incredibly bleak, and not surprisingly it's bleak, of course, because of what happened there, but something will have to be done at some point with that site. There's no doubt about that. Okay, keep your calls and your comments coming into us. Now, the WhatsApp and text number is 086 60 25000, 086 60 25000, or you can give us a call on 07491 25000. I've just passed up through Loch Salt in Glen, and there is 9 bags of rubbish which have been left dotted along the side of the road. Now, I travel Loch Salt a lot and never seen this. And after Easter weekend, I'm not sure if it is or is not visitors that have done this. But if so, we have some respect. This wouldn't be done in their own townland. Now, I think it's actually quite the opposite. I don't know, but I did come up that road myself recently. That looks to me very much like Tidy Towns, that there's been a bit of a clean up there and those bags have been left for the council to pick up. Now, I'm open to correction, but it seems very unlikely to me. In fact, it would be shocking, and we'll return to it big time if it is the case, that if people have left rubbish there. I think that looks to me like a clean up operation, and the bags have been left there to be collected by the council. I am sure there's someone involved in that. If it's the latter or indeed the former, please let us know. 086 60 25000. But it just looks to me like a cleanup rather than a dumping, if that makes sense. Jennifer is with us on the show. Hi, Jennifer.
Hi, Greg.
How's the wee one?
Oh, he's okay now, thank you. He just got a big shock, but he's okay, thank you.
All right, well, we'll hear how. This goes back to Easter Sunday in the Swan Park area. Tell us what happened.
Yep. Well, me and my son were out for a bike ride going through Swan Park, and just enjoying a nice sunny day. And we were kind of taking it steady. I'd just spoken to him, you know, just saying really easy because it was so, so busy in the park with it being a bank holiday. And we were going along, and the next thing, a little spaniel just kind of darted out across the path in front of him. He hit the dog and went flying off over the handlebars and tore all his trousers, cut his leg, banged his head, and was kind of laying there on the floor. So I went down to him, you know, check he's okay. And luckily other people had stopped with the crash, and, you know, somebody shouted out, who's this dog?
Now, before you get to that, at this point, Jennifer, at this point, you would expect the dog owner to run across and say, oh my God, I'm so sorry. The dog slipped off the lead, or is he okay? What can I do? That's kind of what you would hope and expect to happen, that someone had erred or a mistake.
You would.
Now, pick it up from where a bystander got involved, and what happened next?
So, somebody called out, who does this dog belong to? The couple that owned the dog had kind of carried on walking, just ignoring the fact that the child had fell right in front of them. And he said, well, it's my dog. So he said, you know, he's just caused this crash. Can you put him on a lead, please? Because he was running around then. No, my dog doesn't go on a lead, was his response. So the other lady that had stopped then, you know, said, can you please put him on a lead? No, I don't have to. There's no signs anywhere saying he should be on a lead. Absolutely no concern for the child on the floor. So just, really, really frustrating. He actually didn't have a lead on his possession. So at that point, then there's kind of, you know, a little bit of tension, quite defensive behaviour from the dog owners. Just kind of repeating the fact that they didn't feel their dog goes on a lead.
And you were an observer, really, weren't you? You weren't involved in that as much, because I presume you were on your honkers making sure your son was okay.
Exactly. And I didn't want to be, you know, he was really upset at this point. So it was kind of going over above me, do you know what I mean? But the other kind of, there was a few people stuck at that stage. The dog owner then just walked off. I think they headed back towards where they'd come from, whether they were in the car park, couldn't really see, but they just headed off. And at no point did they offer any help. Like, Oren, you know, couldn't ride his bike home. He was stuck on the floor there. So, you know, someone had to come and get him for me. Just really upsetting that, you know, accidents can happen, but basically it would have been completely avoided if the dog was on a lead. You know, everyone could have enjoyed the walk, enjoyed the park, without that danger. You couldn't predict where the dog was going to run.
Of course, but Jennifer, the thing I can't figure out is what part of this story I'm more perplexed by. A, that in a busy park, someone actually doesn't have a lead with them for their dog, right? Lots of us don't like dogs. Mm-hmm. That's crazy to start off with. Secondly, that they didn't all of a sudden show extreme concern for your son's welfare.
Yeah.
And thirdly, to actually argue almost for the rights of their dog that it doesn't get leashed. Mm-hmm. So there's an awful lot to unpick there, Jennifer, as to what to be most shocked about.
I think there's, I don't know whether it's a sense of entitlement for the dog that they should be able to kind of run free and do as they please, which, you know, in some areas is fine, but in a busy park, on a bank holiday, with children, so many children running around, people everywhere, you know, just not appropriate. Somebody, you know, they said, oh, there's no sign saying that you should be on a lead. Somebody else had said it was the law. I'm not sure where the law stands on that.
There's no sign in the park saying you can't run up and kick someone up the backside, but you don't do it. You know what I mean? I have a feeling this person doesn't care too much about signs. You know what I'm saying?
No.
I don't think they're worried. I think if there was a sign there, they'd be going, stuff the signs. I'll do what I want. My dog doesn't get tied up.
No.
It's really unfortunate, isn't it? Because, you know, like, hope it depends on your son's personality, Jennifer. But, I mean, is it now going to make them a nervous cyclist or to be a wee bit worried about dogs? Or if you say in a couple of weeks, do you want to go for a cycle in Swan Park? And they go, oh, no, not today, Mum. And you don't really know what sort of the implications of this experience is for them. I'm not overstating it either, like, you know, but
Yeah, no, thankfully for him, he's, you know, he's pretty confident on his bike. He loves dogs, so it won't cause him any problems. But I think the general kind of consensus is there are so many children that are, you know, and adults as well, that are really afraid of dogs, and that find Swan Park then, you know, it's just a bit of a no-go area for them.
I'm not really afraid of dogs, mm-hmm. right? But I don't want someone's smelly dog sniffing and yep. jumping around. I simply don't want it to happen. Yeah. Yeah. You know, lick its yeah. own bum and then come up and jump and lick me. I don't like this. I've no problem with dogs. Yeah. Don't get me wrong, but I don't think you have to be feared of them. Keep your dogs in your own space. You know what I mean?
Yeah, the solution is pretty simple. Just keep the dog on the lead. And we have a dog ourselves. You know, when we're walking, the dog's on a lead. You know, it's just easy, isn't it? Really, it makes sense for everybody. He has a nice walk. Other people can enjoy the park. It's just common sense, but obviously not for everybody.
Does it matter if I ask, maybe it's irrelevant, did you get the impression these people were local visitors? Did they just think maybe the Bunkran is their play yard? I don't know. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I didn't recognise them. Okay. You know, I'd walked that path quite a lot. I didn't recognise them, but I wouldn't know kind of where.
Yeah. See, I've noticed out and about in the roads the last week, and I don't know how controversial this is or isn't, but you do get a sense from some people that come into Donegal or travel to Donegal. I don't know where they're from. They could be from Dublin, Derry, some other place beginning with D. I haven't a clue. Denmark. That you're kind of in their way, that this is their sort of holiday spot, and, you know, they'll hold the middle of the road. They'll park wherever they like. I don't know. It, as I say, it's almost as if we're just a big Butlins sometimes for people to come and do whatever they like. But anyway, all right, Jennifer, I'm glad to hear that your son's okay. I think you've been really fair and balanced in talking about how that, look, it's not going to have. He's still a confident cyclist. He still loves dogs. He's got your own dogs. That's not about the impact it's going to have on him. It's just the whole scenario and how it unfolded. Okay. Jennifer.
Easily avoided.
Hopefully we get another dry day at some point. You can get out on the bikes again.
Yeah.
Take care.
All right. Thank
bye
you.
Bye,
thanks
Jennifer.
For that, Greg.
All right. Bye bye. 08660 25000. Katrina Devlin, Montgomery in Clonmany, has a big birthday today from the Montgomerys in Falkara. And thankfully, they didn't put the age on it, because I always feel awkward reading out someone's age. But I do it anyway, because it's not up to me to police people's thoughts. But anyway, Katrina Devlin Montgomery, you're in Clonmany. Have a wonderful day on your birthday. I just want to give a quick mention to the big competition we've got. It's not a big competition. It's a big draw, really. I don't know how you'd frame it. That's running at the moment. It's a €10,000 home makeover. Thanks to, in association with our friends at Foy's, they will help, actually, if you win, they will help with the design of your room or rooms or whatever it might be. If you really wanted to go to town on one or two rooms, you could put all the cash into that. Maybe actually you have a conservatory that's just not properly furnished. You could really make it another room, that kind of stuff. It's a €10,000 home makeover. But as well as that, there's 500 cash, and you can do with what you wish. You can do with what you wish. You can spend the cash however you wish. That's being given away Friday week on John Breslin's show. So it's €15,000 in total worth in association with Foyne Company. Now, also, I have €2,500 to give away on Friday, €2,500. If you want to be with a chance to win the €2,500 on Friday and the 15 effectively valued prize the following Friday, it's time to get your ticket. How do you do that? Well, you can go onto our website and you'll see the link there. Click in and you can buy your tickets. The most you will spend is €10. One ticket for €10. You get 6 for 50, 10 for 80. And it's safe and secure to buy your tickets there. If you want to get involved in that, also, you can give us a call on 07491 25000. We will hook you up. The closing date for entries is Friday the 12th of April. But if you want to be in with a chance to win the €2,500 this Friday, you've got today and tomorrow to sort that out. Okay, so if you want to, if you've got the money and you want to get involved, it could be you. Right, we're going to go to Clonmany and Colette after these. Still trying to get to the bottom of the bags on the Loxalt Road. As I say, I just presumed it was a tidy towns or a clean-up, but we've had no confirmation of that as of yet. And another caller says, Greg, we've the same problem with people dumping bags of rubbish on our roads, and it's on the back roads between Burnfoot and Buncrana. It's not within the tidy towns area, and this is happening at night time also, but mostly every weekend. again, I'm, you know what? I am actually really quite naive, and I actually look, you know, for the best in people. Is it possible that people heading away after Easter, someone dumped their bags on the side of the road and then they've continued to do it all the way up that road and they're doing the same between Burnfoot and Buncrana? That would be a big shocker to me, I'll be honest with you. Please, any further information, let us know. Right, OK, let's stay on the roads. We're going to Clonmany and we're talking about the narrow roads. Colette, hiya, thanks for holding. I appreciate it. Good morning to you.
Hello, Greg. How are you?
I'm all right. So paint a picture for those not familiar with the roads around Clonmany, or a particular road that you think that needs some attention.
Yeah, it's just, I'm talking about the road from the North Pole Bar into Clonmany. It's a ribbon road with severe bends on it, and there was numerous fatal crashes on that road. Now, there's widths, wide widths at either side of the road that the County Council could widen. It's up to the County Council, councillors and the TDs to do that job. Mm. Now, the road is so narrow, as I expressed 2-3 weeks ago on the radio, mm-hmm. that two cars meeting each other are nearly almost shaving past each other. Now, to prove that point, 2 weeks ago, two lorries met just approaching a North Pole Bar on that road, mm-hmm. and they couldn't pass one another, and one of them rolled over into the ditch, into the marshy field, which has a loch at the bottom of it, and landed on its roof. So I'm calling on all the TDs and all the county councillors to get the money from Dublin government for the roads, the NRI or whatever you call them, National Roads Authority, to widen that road. Now, that road has never been widened since the 70s. When someone in the 70s was decapitated in a car crash on that road, not to talk about the 8 young people that died and the elderly man coming from Bingo, from Buncrana, where they met and crashed. And another thing too is my friend, who is not from the area at all, from Limerick, in fact, lives in the sheltered housing accommodation in Clonmany Village at St. Colum Kills, it's called. Now, he has to visit his daughter every day in Buncrana. He temerously drives up that road, and they will not allow him to drive down the road. He's too afraid to drive down the road. They have to go down with him and take another car down to collect his daughter, to bring her back to Buncrana. Now, that's curtailing the freedom of the elderly people. And like, that road is lethal. And why isn't Patrick McLaughlin and that, what do you call him, Conaghan, Charlie McConlogue, and all the county councillors, and there were numerous, Jack Murray's one of them, Sinn Féin, Rena Dunhey was one of them, Fianna Fáil, Nicholas Crossan, Independent. Why are people not crying out about that road? And why is the Donegal County Council not putting that in their budget to widen that road, to claim money down from the government in their you know, list of needs for Donegal? Because Donegal is forgotten about. And we have no TDs to represent us in this Inishowen. And
you are of the view. I think that's exactly where you're just about to go. You're of the view that the local community should come together on this issue.
Exactly. Correct. The local community should form a committee, like they had to do for the Cock Hill Bridge in Buncrana. The government and the TDs and the county councillors would not widen that bridge until a community formed together and cried out in one voice, and then it was done. So I encourage the Clonmany people to form a committee before the next election and make their manifesto known to the TDs that land on their street, knocking on their doors, because feet on the ground is bums on seats. So don't give them their vote unless they're going to widen that road. That's all I can say, Greg.
Okay, well, hopefully nothing happens in between now and the next
time. Oh,
sure. Okay, right, Colette, listen, thanks for that. I appreciate you coming back on. Colette was on with us before. Since then, there was another incident on that road, which of great concern to her. There were cleanups, excuse me. There were cleanups on during the week, and the areas are waiting for the council to lift the rubbish bags. That would be why there are rubbish bags lying in Glen. There were also cleanups in Termin and other areas. Okay, well, That's actually starting to make a bit more sense to me. As you know, from the get-go, that's what I thought it could be. I couldn't imagine that people were routinely just dumping their stuff there. But anyway, you never know, you see. Fair play to Bernie, who took such courage to come on and tell her story of her memorial garden and what it means to their family. I hope that the owners of the Creasy shop are listening and realise how disrespectful it is to build a shop again where 10 people lost their lives. Have a bit of respect for the deceased and their families. Now, again, and I really just want this to be a safe space for everyone to have their views. There are an awful lot of people who have different views to life and death who would be very much in favour of this site being used again for a shop. They're probably less likely to speak out because they don't want to be seen as being insensitive or disrespectful to those who lost their lives. But this is not, you know, a small group of individuals with one view and then everybody else having a different view. There are many different views within Creasy and also some of those affected directly by this as to what the future might be for this site. So I don't want the texts are coming in and I get that and I'm reading them, but I just don't want the people in the wider community to think that there is, you know, a family, let's just say, who have one vision and then everyone else have a different. It's not really like that. There are many different views amongst many, many people. Greg, I'd like to think all this money that was gathered up elsewhere or everywhere for the Creasy people who were hurt through this tragedy, that the money should remain in Creasy to help the people. I think that, for the most part, has been what has happened. Could common ground be agreed between all parties to rebuild the shop back from the road to incorporate a wee memorial, waterfall, coffee dock, remembrance garden site? Just my opinion. I'm not sure of how much property is available to the rear and how sort of a very busy business operating behind such a memorial might appear, or maybe that might even be deemed as more disrespectful. I don't know. But keep your views coming, of course. Greg, a lot of young people are going to Dubai to work as an employee because it's great money and is tax-free. Good healthcare, zero crime rates, no open borders like Ireland. Well, that's big. Oh, okay. No open borders like Ireland. Just one thing I'll say about it, there's a little bit of an irony there, if you don't mind. There's probably an awful lot of people in the UAE that don't like to see so many Westerners coming in and adjusting their culture and adjusting their standards. You get little bars and pubs opened. There's zero tolerance to drink over there. They've had to change their approach to women wearing, you know, their legs bare or their shoulders bare. I can assure you there's many people within the UAE would prefer not to see the Westerners and their Western ways in Dubai. So to talk of the fact that it doesn't have open borders when we're talking about loads of Westerners going there is a wee bit ironic. But anyway, I'll read it from the beginning. Greg, a lot of young people are going to the UAE to work as an employee because it's great money, tax-free, good healthcare, zero crime rates. Many of the large houses you see being built around Donegal are owned by these people who have been working in the UAE tax-free. On a macroeconomic level, is it better to have our people moving abroad to work, or is it better to have them stay and work in Ireland under an extortionate taxation system where if they do well, they can pay up to 48% tax on the money they earn? Where is all this money being allocated? Certainly not to the healthcare system. And your callers earlier in the week are complaining about and not to the infrastructure of Donegal either. Caller says her lane in Drumkeen has not been fixed in 25 years. They've been to Lifford to try and get it done, but to no avail. Two farmhouses and three other private houses on the lane, and they still haven't done anything about it. This is in relation to the LIS scheme. The more I hear about the LIS scheme, the more ineffective it seems.